Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. I am broadcasting from the Liberty Ford dealership in Parma Heights on 6600 Pearl Road. Come on out and see us here. Kevin Mack is here to sign autographs, pose for pictures. Come check out the great stock of Ford cars here. Nathan Zagura back in our studios in Berea. On the line with us right now, we are so happy to have this guy, and I'll put out the disclaimer. He is one of my closest friends on the planet. We go back many years ago to his days when he was playing for the Buffalo Bills. He is now in his home area of Boston, Mass. Actually, he's from Waltham, lives in Sudbury, but he's all New England. He's Mr. New England, and he is Mr. Patriot now because of all the discussion he has about that team on television and radio and every other place. He is the one and only Fred Smirlus. How you doing, Freddie?
What's up, my brother? How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for taking a couple of minutes to join us and share knowledge about that football team that you know so well. Is it as simple as Gronk comes back and they're really good now, or is there more to it than that? How do they turn it around?
They're wicked good.
Yes.
Here's the interesting part. And for some reason, people don't understand this. When the Patriots started out the season, Gronk was out. Hernandez murdered some people, so he had to take a little vacation. He had, Amendola gets hurt. And Amendola and Vereen, the first game at 259 yards, right? And then and you have Edelman, Welker's been traded. They have game plan book bigger than your trophy book. I mean, this thing's humongous. And so when you start the season with all these rookies and you have tight ends that no one ever heard of, what was his name? Stubfield, he was a rookie. Dobson and Tompkins. They were working on about one-eighth of the playbook. So when he's calling plays and audibling and adjusting, because there's a lot of sight adjustment, they'll run out, whatever the defensive coverage changes, the routes change, and they're supposed to change, and Brady knows all that, and usually he's firing the ball where they're going to be. He sees the change, he recognizes, he fires it. You know, over the years, the receivers would be adapted to that. So at the beginning of the season, they're running the wrong routes, and he's throwing the ball, and everyone's going, boy, he looks inaccurate. The ball's 5 yards over their head. No, the guy is supposed to be 5 yards deeper, right? He's supposed to hook up on a man coverage. He's supposed to hook up on a trap underneath, or, when it's changed on a Tampa 2 instead of the cover 2. And so they weren't doing that. And as the season progressed, and after the first game, Amendola and Vereen got hurt, he had to wait for the routes to break to see if they're going the right way, so he's holding the ball more. Now when Amendola comes back and Edelman has a guy there and Vereen comes back and the Gronk machine, Gronkenstein comes back, who's virtually uncoverable, those guys are breaking the routes when they're supposed to. They're changing the routes when they're supposed to. And if you watch Tom in the pocket, he puts up 450 yards of offense against the number one a yardage defense team in the NFL, which is Houston, and then against Carolina, I think they had 400 yards also. So now they're starting to click. Tom's not hesitating. He's throwing the ball where they are supposed to be, and they're getting it. Even the young guys are starting to get it, but they get to look at the older guys. And let's face it, Vic, your neighbor, the Gronk, he runs down the field, and you got to envision a big broom. He's sweeping defensive backs. They're following like the giant Pied Piper. You got a 5'11" cornerback. Gronk's resting his elbow on his head. So you had to front him. You got to cover him underneath, and then you got to go underneath and over the top, double him. Whatever zone goes, you got to put. So now Edelman's free. He's getting 11 catches. Edelman, Amendola's skipping down the field. It's because Gronk's very difficult to cover, but they're where they're supposed to be. He looks to the left and just turns and fires to the right, throwing the ball where the guy Vereen's supposed to be, and runs in for a touchdown. So all that's changed. Now they're about 85% of the playbooks in, so they can change and audible and adapt to most defenses. Let's face it, Cleveland has a good defense, and they get good pressure. They cover well. And so the Patriots, which get beaten the last three games in the first half, come out blowing them off their doors off. And even that dummy defensive back was talking about Nostradamus, and leave the Greeks out of this. He just doesn't understand when Brady and Belichick figure out what you're doing, they're going to be calling the plays before you even get to play.
Right.
So it's all about the ability to adjust and change in your versatile offense, which a lot of teams don't have. And that's why they change so much and they can adapt. All of a sudden they're getting killed. Next thing you know, how'd that happen? They just adjust on the fly real well.
Fred, thanks for joining us. One of the things that Shane Vereen has brought to that team is that back out of the backfield who can add the extra dimension. You talk about Gronk sweeping people out, and of course Vereen can then do his damage underneath. And the Browns have struggled with backs out of the backfield as their linebackers have had a tough time in coverage with them. How important is Vereen to this offense? And then what sense do you make of the running backs on the team? We know Stephen Ridley was a healthy and active last week. Do you expect him back this week? How do you see the backfield shaking out?
Well, the Patriots, last week when they came out against Houston in a two-back I formation, two tight end, right? Houston packs it in. What do the Patriots do? Play action pass and smoke them. Because, you know, everyone tries to outguess the Patriots. That's very difficult to do. But you made the point, Vereen. What Vereen does is, you know, a lot of times he'll stay in. No one blocks. He'll come out. He'll chip block and roll out. He's the outlet pass, what Flock used to be. And when he was hurt for a while, the other backs, he just understands the offense really well. When Brady's when he's called and he checks the defense and what the defense is doing, he runs out and it's a safety valve, 5, 6, 7, 8 yards. It's a big plus. And after a couple of those, now your linebackers have to run out. The linebackers' problem is with the Patriots. Edelman is lightning quick. You know, you see him on those kickoffs. He's at the slot, or Amendola's running, or Gronk crosses, and you got a linebacker trying to follow him with a You could throw the ball 12 feet high. He's got 10-inch fingers. He can reach up and snatch it like a little oyster. That's for you. And so you have very difficult man coverages and crossing coverages because of the versatility of the offensive and the Brady's ability to recognize it. So, you know, you have to get pressure on Brady. Can't blitz him that often because he's like, Manning, and they read it so quickly they get it off to the open guy. But you can't make mistakes. What the Patriots try and do, and they did it real well in the second half of the last couple of games, is they're very precise and they take advantage of mistakes and misreads. And if you play a sound defense, you know, Cleveland, let's face it, their offense hasn't been great, but the defense is a pretty stout defense. They can't make mistakes because he'll kill you on it.
Fred Smirlus is joining us, former NFL nose tackle, 5-time Pro Bowler. And he is.
But I ain't got no ring now, do I, Vic?
That's the only thing missing is that ring. And you came damn close to that because you were a 49er when.
DeAssi beat me.
Steve DeAssi. And you brought up that name, too. And just for folks and maybe some Cleveland fans who might be heading to New England for this game, Fred Smirlus and Steve DeAssi. It's called Fred and Steve's Steakhouse at Twin River Casino in Rhode Island.
Lincoln, Rhode Island.
Yes, beautiful, beautiful place.
And, Vic, we have on. I'm a twit and Twitter now.
Yeah.
So it's at Fred Smirlus on there. We did a maitre d' about a half an hour show. I sent it to you. Did you see that?
Yes, I saw the video. It was really good.
If you go to at Fred Smirlus, you can check the video out. We have, Vic, 5-pound baked stuffed lobster, stuffed with shrimp, scallops, crab, and lobster. It's sick. We had it last week. The special was a 2.5-pound lobster stuffed with jumbo shrimp. Right, baked jumbo shrimp with a 1-pound premium cut sirloin strip with a potato stuffed with bacon. I could hardly eat it after the 10 lamb chops I had. I have to test all the appetites.
You could hardly eat it, Mr.
It's only you're only 20 miles from the stadium. We're right 6 miles next to Providence, where I'm going to pick the Victor up and bring him over. And I have a 48-ounce porterhouse for two for Vic.
You're just going to walk the cow into the
restaurant. Wait, what's that dripping? It's drool coming out of my brother Vic's mouth.
Freddie Smirlus with us. Fred, all right, you've watched Tom Brady his whole career, 14 years. This is year number 14. All right, we explain why the playbook, you broke that all down nicely. What is the state of his game right now and the mindset? I know you know him well, too, and, you know, the hunger, all those things that people think about when you got all the money and all the fame you could want. Obviously, I know he wants that another Super Bowl ring, and maybe this is going to be as good a year or good an opportunity as any for him to do it. Just tell us the state of the Tom right now.
Well, look, think about it. How many defensive players out the best player, Vincent Brown, Wilford, one freak, best two-gap guy in football, and you got Mayo behind him, one of the best linebackers in football, right? You get Denard was out. You get all these different guys out and Kelly out. But let's get to Tom Brady. When he was a rookie in fourth string, I got to know him real well. He played a lot of basketball games with us. And up at Lowell one time, he hit 12 or 13 three-pointers. So Then the season came. They won the Super Bowl. That's when he came in and started. Brought him to another game in Winthrop, an Italian haven just off the coast of Boston. And he was sitting there, and he goes, "Hey, Fred," we brought him in. It was like Elvis. He said, "Remember last year I was hot during that Lowell game?" I go, "Tom, you just won MVP in the Super Bowl. What are you talking about?" He goes, "Yeah, but I was on fire." Everything's important to him. Every aspect of football or competition is important to him. He loves it. He thrives on it. And this is what separates it. And this is why so many scouts have their head in the sand, because you see guys, the 40 time, the muscles, the pretty things, right? The dancing, the feet. It's the brain. It's the ability to take in the information, decipher what's right and what's wrong, and get it out to your arm. Manning and him do it better than anybody I've ever seen. Montana maybe, and Marino up there. But he can read and react to defenses like it's nobody's business. He'll eat you for lunch when you make mistakes. You try and put him or make it or trick him. It's a remarkable thing, and that's what makes him great. He sees, he reads, he audibles, he baits you into jumper off sides. He changes the pace of the game. That's on his own. Hurry, slow, quick. Whatever it is that screw you up, he can do it, and he's cool as a cucumber. So Tom Brady's brain is what makes him so good in his desire. I mean, listen, Vic, we all both have lovely wives. You have a lot of money. I still have to work for a living. But when you get all the money you can possibly... Think about this guy. He's worth $600 to $700 million. He's got a beautiful wife. He's beautiful. His kids are beautiful, right? But he wants to go roll in the dirt and get hit by 300-pound animals because he loves the competition. I had talked to him once. He goes, "I'll never retire. I'll retire when I can't play anymore. I love it. I love it." So that's what drives him, desire. But brains, there's all these brains. Montana, in Elway and Marino and these guys. But Tom could be the smartest, quickest thinking quarterback I've ever seen.
That's poetic.
That is poetic.
All right, I got it.
I'm almost gonna tear my eye.
I'm wiping them away here.
Because I got chicken wings in front of me. I haven't eaten yet.
Exactly, and I'm keeping you away from. All right, one thing we can't let you go without telling at least a Cleveland story, because Fred, you spent a lot of time. There were multiple games against this Browns team. I know one of the epic ones was that playoff game, which proved to be your final game with the Bills before you left for San Francisco. What's your memory, your favorite, if you've got one, Cleveland?
Well, I remember walking on the field, and I smell horses. Right?
Like, horses?
Horses, yeah.
Horses, yeah.
I said, "What is that smell? It smells like hay. They have covered the field in hay and painted it green." Remember that?
Yes. Yeah, at the old mutant.
Oh,
mutant,
man. Yeah. But then you had in Kozar, Vinny Kozar,
Bernie.
Bernie. How's Bernie doing anyway?
He's fine. I mean, sure. you used to have some issues with, did he get you to jump offside too?
No, Vic, that's a rumor. No one did that. They were offside. I was right on time.
Doug Deacon begs to differ, but that's okay.
Deacon. What? I'll tell you a quick story about Deacon, right? We're scrimmaging Cleveland, and we have this hot shot. Rookie defensive end. He runs a 4-5, has big muscles, right? He's doing real well in practice. And we're watching films. We're going to play Cleveland in scrimmage. And there's Doug Deacon kind of lipping around, and he's laughing. "Oh, this guy was all pro. I'm going to kill him." I go, "Dude, if you notice one common thing here between all the guys rushing him, they're not getting to the quarterback. He's a nasty, dirty, smelly, hairy, bite vampire-ish guy. I'm telling you." So we get in the game. Right, and he comes up field and makes a pretty nice play, the rook, and did Duckins giving him the look of death. Next play, uppercuts him in the jaw. Right, next play hits the ground and spins him, kicks him in the groin. Right, next play dives on him, rams his head into the ground, and he's looking at him. Come on, now he's getting mental and he's getting in the head. The rook comes in the huddle and he's like, blah, 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 blah. I go, "Dude, I told you, it's a nasty human being. He will do anything to beat you. You weren't listening." And that kid went downhill after that. Deacon opened his skull and ate his little chocolate brain and just let him sink. It was beautiful, nasty old veteran story.
And I love it. That's a classic.
Deacon was Conrad Doble with a couple of brains.
Yeah, they look right.
They looked alike.
They looked alike, right? They kind of played alike, and you had Conrad as a teammate in Buffalo. We'd spend another 2 hours on Conrad's story.
Well, Connie tried to eat my little chocolate brain too, but I sealed it up so he couldn't get at it.
Freddie, great stuff. Look forward to seeing you this weekend, my friend.
One more side note: I am picking up Tasker. He's staying at the same hotel, and he's coming with us.
Beautiful,
Steve. Steve. Steve Tasker used to call me Uncle Giggy because my nephew called me Uncle Giggy. Now, here's a kid that looks like he's 12.
Yes.
You know, and I'm 300-something pounds covered with hair and look like I'm 60 when I was 15. And this, and one of the teammates has called me Uncle Giggy, and people are going, isn't that nice? He's bringing his nephew with him.
Your teammate, Steve Tasker, on those Bills teams. All right, good stuff, Fred.
Thank All right, you, my brother. I'll see you on Saturday.
See you Saturday. Love you, man.
I love you, baby.
He is Fred Spurless. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We're going to hear from Kevin Mack next, who is here at the Liberty Ford dealership in Parma Heights, 6600 Pearl Road. I'm out here, Nathan Zagura, back in the studio in Berea. We've got much more of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, coming up, and the crowd's going crazy on ESPN 850 WKNR.